Chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. When away introduction, I want to tell two stories from the Bible. There was a story about a young man who had 10 half-brothers and one real brother, and he had a dream one night. And his dream was, you all brothers are going to come and you're going to have to serve me, and you'll bow down to me one day. We know the story. The story is Joseph. And you can find it in the book of Genesis. And you know, the brothers didn't like what Joseph said. There's a lot of people don't like what other people say today. And just because he had a different vision than his brothers did, they sold him into slavery. But before they tried to sell him into slavery, they tried to kill him in a pit. And the issue was, is that, well, Joseph, you're just the favorite. Joseph, you wouldn't, that's not right that you would tell us that you're going to, we're going to bow down to you. Now, maybe Joseph could have used a little bit more tact. But the fact is, God gave him that vision. God was showing Joseph what was going to happen in the future. And it doesn't really matter what you believe or not. When God shows people something, it's going to happen. And so they didn't like the vision that Joseph had because it didn't agree with their vision. So they put him in a pit, stripped him of his clothes, and then said, "Yeah, you know what? We can make some money off this. We'll go sell him into slavery." And they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And then it said, well, so the people, so that mom and dad won't get upset about this, we'll say that he was dead. And so they lied about it, and they took his coat of many colors and they put it in blood. And they said, we don't know what happened, but here's the coat. And so Jacob and Rebecca thought that, or Rachel thought that Joseph had died. And the brother said, we've got it solved. That guy's no longer bothering us with those visions. Isn't that good? And some years go by. And we know the story of Joseph, how he was sold to Potiphar. He became the chief steward of Potiphar's house. And then he was wrongly accused. He winds up in prison. He winds up being the chief trustee of prison. And then he can interpret another dream. And then he rises up and he's now the prime minister of Egypt. Folks, it doesn't matter where you wind up. If you're following God, God can use you. And God will protect you. And God can grow you. All these things that was happening to Joseph was making him to be the leader that he's going to be, that he needed to be. And folks, we need to let God have control of our life. Even when things don't go the way we want them to, even though we think things are we're being mistreated or characterized unfairly, we need to listen to God. But you know something? The brothers. You know, we never think about the brothers or never talk about the brothers. The Bible's going to talk about that for what happened in those years. I don't know if they felt guilt or not. The impression was, he's gone, we'll forget about him. Because if we keep on bringing him up, we'll upset mom and dad, and we'll just make it worse. Folks, when you forget, you might forget, but God doesn't forget. And God will not bless unrighteousness. He will not bless an evil deed. And it just so happens that while Egypt is having these bumper crops and stuff, Israel, the promised land's having them too, but then there's a famine. And when people don't follow God, there's going to be a famine in your life. And so we know the story now. So Jacob tells his brothers, you need to go down and buy some food. We know the whole thing about he keeps one of his brothers back and keeps them in prison, and Jacob says, nah, and then hunger comes in, they send him back down. And the second time that they're down, Joseph shows his brothers that he's alive. You would think they'd be happy. They were scared out of their mind because now judgment has come to them. What God's word has said came true. It didn't turn out the way they thought it would. And so we can go into look in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 and 5. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence because they had been found out. See, God sends a famine in your life when you're doing wrong. And be sure your sin will find you out. And my God, his word will come true. For they were troubled at his presence because they were looking at this from man's perspective. Verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, and I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. Could you say that? Could you say that? Could you be that gracious? See, that's really a picture of God. And when we're truly following God, we will have the characteristics of God we can be gracious to. And Joseph was very, very gracious here. I don't think I could have done it. Okay? I don't know. Not in my human mindset. That would be tough to do. But with God, all things are possible. He says, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me, for God did send me before you to preserve life. It doesn't matter what's happened recently. God's still in control. He's still in control. And what we need to do is we need to learn the lessons that God has got for us. And we need to grow where we're planted, and God will continue to bless. And let's not have a famine in our land because of our unrighteousness. We understand that God is still in control. Yep. Before those brothers, can you imagine when Joseph said, I am Joseph, what their initial thought was? We never thought this would ever happen to us. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, the nation of Israel has taken over the land that was promised to them by God. God has identified them as his chosen people. He has fought these battles. He's sustained them in the wilderness. He's loved them even when they turned their back on him. And sometimes people get complacent. And they think, just based on our background, God's going to bless us. And God's going to fight our battles. Well, he will if you follow him. But as time went on in the nation of Israel, several things were happening. They wanted to be like the rest of the world. They wanted a king. Their priests had become very immoral. And there were two priests, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were very immoral dudes. They were not godly. Their daddy was Eli, and he was blind, physically blind, and couldn't see very well. And so what happened was the Philistines came up to make battle with him. They should have been there in the first place. God told them to get rid of them the first time because of their unrighteous act. God had put judgment on the Philistines, and Israel didn't execute God's judgment. Folks, when God tells us to do something, we need to. Or it's going to come back to get us again. And so they go out and they say, we're God's chosen people. We're going to beat the Philistines. We beat them before and everything. And they go out to battle and they get whacked badly. They go, oh no, what has happened to us? What has happened to us? We're God's chosen people. We don't have the symbol of God with us. Let's go get the ark. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. Instead of praying to the God of the ark, they made a God of the ark.
Right.
And so what they did is they made their own God. They said, This is going to deliver us. Go get the ark. So they go, and Phinehas and Hophni get the ark, and they come back out. And you know what the Philistines did? When they saw the ark, they were originally scared. They thought, because they knew what the God behind the ark could do. But you know what? It emboldened them more and more to fight harder and harder. And so in the battle, the worst possible thing could have happened. The Israelites never thought that it could happen. They were whacked again. The two high priests were killed. The ark was taken. And now they're subject to the Philistines. See, just because you might be a Christian, if you're not following God's direction and not following His commands, God's not going to fight your battles for you. If you're making something that looks good your God, it's not going to win like God wins. And so the Israelites, they thought that, boy, with ark's there, everything's going to be cool. And all of a sudden, something happened to them that they thought would never happen. And both Joseph's brothers and the nation of Israel, they came to a point where they never thought things would turn out the way that they did. Maybe this week, as you see and you thought that things in our country would never turn out the way that they would. But my God is still in control.
Amen.
And He will give grace, and He will give mercy, and He will give strength, and He will give all those things. And I'm not concerned who's in the White House. My concern is, do I please my Savior? Do I please my God? Our church concern should be, are we serving Him? Okay? Because my Bible tells me that our God can take the king's heart and turn it whithersoever He will. And so we need to pray for new leadership, whoever that may be. And not sit here and get angsty about, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it. I want it my way. No, it doesn't work that way. In our text this morning, there are two main points before we get into the message. The first one is a fundamental question that we all in here and all those on the internet and everybody is going to have to come up with the answer and be confronted with this question. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.'" But then Christ turns it to a personal note. He said, "You're going to believe what other men say? I'm more interested in what you think." And in verse 15, He says, "He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?'" See, this morning, the fundamental question answer is, who is Jesus Christ to you? It's not who He is to me, it's who He is to you. And what are you doing about that? The second thing is a fundamental principle. He goes on in verses 16 through 19, it says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Well, that's the right answer. But do you believe it enough to change the way you live? "And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," not Peter. I want to tell you truthfully, Peter's not the father of the church. Christ is.
Amen.
He's who started the church. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. Folks, this church is not our church. It's God's church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. What he's done is he's given the church power over Satan and over the power of and over the gates of hell. Which means that if you know Christ as your Savior, Satan has no hold on you. If you know Christ on Savior, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Your eternity is in heaven, not in hell. But there's a promise here in verse 18. He says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I think it's oh too sad today in the modern church that the gates of hell are prevailing against the church. I think Christians today can be fighting a losing battle. Never thought things would turn out that way. Never thought that Joseph would appear as the prime minister of Egypt. Never thought that the ark would be taken. Never thought, folks, if we don't follow God, Satan will have his way. Satan will win. But if we follow God, we follow the fundamental, know the right answer to the fundamental question, and due to the fundamental principle, nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop us. So this morning, my message is, are we prevailing in our spiritual battle, or are we losing? Are we being prevailed upon? I have 3 points this morning to this. And whether or not you're winning your spiritual battle or losing the spiritual battle depends on your faith's foundation. It depends on your faith foundation. Folks, in your spiritual battle, Christ is the only foundation. It must be Jesus.
Amen.
It must be Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul writes, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Folks, this church was founded on Christ. It will stay founded on Christ. We're not going anywhere else. And if it's not glorifying and edifying Christ, we're not going to do it.
Amen.
Our foundation is Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church that has the right foundation. It must be Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. It's just not sure, it's more sure. It's something that you can risk your life on and bet your life on and bet your eternity on. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed.
Amen.
Folks, this morning I'm challenging you to take heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
I want you to take heed to Jesus. He is your only Savior. There is salvation and neither is there salvation any other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It must be Jesus. You have no spiritual life if you don't know Jesus. This church cannot go forward if it doesn't know Jesus. This church cannot, or nor can you, fight spiritual warfare unless you know Jesus. It do you well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Folks, it's a dark place today. We need to shine in a dark place that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So you want to prevail against the gates of hell? Then you have to have your faith in Jesus Christ. It must be Jesus. It cannot be man's thinking. It cannot be man's thinking. In Mark chapter 7, verse 13, it says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. It's thus saith the Lord, not what I think. See, that's why the gates of hell are prevailing against the church today. It's because we're allowing things come in our churches today that God put judgment on the Old Testament.
Yeah. Right.
He destroys cities because of immorality. But we allow it in the church. He destroyed nations because of baby sacrifice to their gods. What, we let abortion go unchecked.
Right.
Making the word of God of what? No impact. I hear it, but I won't do it. Folks, we've got to do the word of God. It cannot be your thinking. Ours is all messed up. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Made of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. And many such like things do ye. Folks, we need to put our standard exactly where it is. It must be Jesus.
Amen.
It must be Jesus. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, it says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Folks, if we're not sold out to Jesus, if Jesus is not the fundamental answer to our question and the basis of our belief, then what we're doing is worthless.
Right.
See, if you're losing your spiritual battle, you've got to have Jesus in your life. Church, if we're not prevailing against the gates of hell, we've got to have Jesus in the church.
Right.
And we can't let our thinking get in to it. And then action must be taken. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes to Timothy here. Timothy's a young man. He's a young preacher. He's trying to deal with the church at Ephesus. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds. And let's just not say, let's be equal opportunity here. Men and women of corrupt minds, okay? Reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. Folks, it's time to draw a line in the sand. It's time to draw, go back to the ancient man, Mark. It's time to go back to the fundamental. It's Jesus.
Amen.
And our faith is based on Jesus and nothing else. Nothing else. For their folly shall be manifested to all men as theirs also was. Folks, truth will come out. Truth needs to come out in your life. Truth needs to come out in your church. Truth needs to come out in our nation. But our foundation needs to be Jesus. It must be Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. You know, the Corinthian church had a lot of problems that the modern church has today. A lot of immorality, a lot of bickering, a lot of clickiness, a lot of all the stuff. People being not together, being divisive. We've heard that word recently, haven't we? But my Bible tells me this. Action must be taken. This stuff can't proceed no further. Not in your life, not in the church's life. But Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven. If it's not in accord with thus saith the Lord, get rid of it. Christ said this, if your eye offended, pluck it out. If your hand offended, chop it off. Take drastic measures. Take drastic measures. Purge out therefore the old leaven or the sin, that ye may be a new lump. Now, many of our wives think that we're all lumps anyway. But at least we'd be a new one. Okay? We'd be a new one. Well, the Bible tells this. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature, old things passed away. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate and what? Touch not the unclean thing. More on that in a minute. Purge out therefore the old. My Bible tells me this. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
You have a sin problem in your life. Today, draw the line and say, no more. It must be Jesus. I have to win the spiritual battle. I have to win the spiritual battle. Don't go over to the enemy's side. That you may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. That is our state supposed to be without sin. Or try to be. For even Christ our Passover is sanctified, sacrificed for us. See, whether or not you're prevailing or being prevailed upon depends on your faith's foundation. What is it today? It must be Jesus.
Amen.
Secondly, being prevailing or being prevailed upon in your spiritual life depends on your sanctification. Long word means to be set apart, means to be able to be used by God.
Right.
Because, see, to be set apart, be used by God is the will of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 5, it says this, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." But verse 4 is the kicker, folks. "That every one of you should know." It's not about what you think. Folks, we got a new idea about holiness is what I think it is. No, it's what God's Word says.
That's right.
"That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, and not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God." Why do people today say they're Christians but don't act like they are? Why do people say, "I follow God," but don't live a lifestyle that follows God? Folks, these are fundamental questions, but they're pervasive in the modern church today. They cannot be in your life. They cannot be in the church. It cannot be. It is the will of God that we're set apart. It is the will of God that we be conformed to us. It is the will of God that we're supposed to be separate. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 7, it says, "But fornication," that's any sort of sexual relationship outside of marriage, period. Male or female. Doesn't matter. And marriage is between a man and a woman.
Amen.
That's what God's Word says.
Right.
Don't get your thinking caught up in that. "But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know." Folks, we need to live as if we know this stuff.
Right.
"For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater," i.e., that's their faith basis, "hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And even though judgment may be not on you now, it's coming.
That's right.
Just ask Joseph's brothers. Or the nation of Israel. Or those that will stand before God, as it says in Matthew chapter 7, saying, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name?" And he'll say, "Depart from me, ye at work iniquity, I never knew you." "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." It's God's word.
Amen.
Tell you what, you run with the world, you'll be like the world. Church runs with the world, that'll be like the world. And there'll be no difference. And the gates of hell will prevail in this. And the gates of hell will prevail in our body. And in your life. See, whether or not you're prevailing or not prevailing depends on your sanctification. It's the will of God that we are sanctified. It is a call to separation. And it is a personal responsibility. It's a personal responsibility. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, it says, But as he which hath called you to you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And we're just not talking about talking. All areas of your life. Folks, we're losing the battle because we're not sanctified.
Right.
The reason we're not sanctified is because we don't have the right faith basis. We say we know Jesus, but we don't have faith in Him. Because if we had faith in Him, we would overcome all this stuff. He would be the Lord of our life and just not our Savior. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written. What does that mean? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Be ye holy. Not the way you think. It's not relative holiness. It's absolute holiness.
Amen.
Based on God's Word. For I am holy. If we're supposed to be Christians, we need to look like Christ.
Amen.
And we don't need to be a Sino or Christian in name only. It's time to come out from among them and be separate.
Amen.
It's time to be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. All those things that we're supposed to be.
Amen.
Folks, whether we're prevailing or being prevailed upon depends on our faith foundation. It depends on our level of sanctification. And then lastly, it depends on where your strength comes from. See, there are several dangers in here. The first danger is the danger of ignorance. People live ignorant today. Christians say they're Christians and never open their Bible. Don't even know a verse. Can't share the gospel. What's that talk about your faith? See, there's the danger of ignorance of your adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Totally destroy you. So where's your strength come from? It's not going to come from ignorance. See, the second danger of ignorance is the reality of spiritual warfare. It's not who's going to be in the White House for the next 4 years. It's going to be where you're going to spend eternity. It's going to be in what's going to happen in this country spiritually in the next 4 years, in the next 4 hours. See, we're ignorant of the reality of spiritual warfare. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the what? Wiles of the devil. Every trick that he has, because he'll put a trick out there. Just go at us. Eve. Or Peter. Okay? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spirit wicked rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And just because someone says they have faith doesn't mean they have faith. They may have faith in something, but it's not Christ.
Right.
Because they have faith in Christ, they'd be in line with this Bible.
That's right.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Folks, we need the helmet of salvation, and our loins girt about with truth, and the gospel, and our feet shod with the gospel, and the breastplate of righteousness. We need all those things in our lives. If we don't have those things, we're not going to be effective. You're ignorant of the spiritual warfare. You need the whole armor of God so you can stand. Or you're going to get prevailed upon. See, the danger of ignorance of the adversary, the danger of ignorance of spiritual warfare, there's the danger of ignorance of the rigor of the battle. Last Wednesday night we went through Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. It says this. It says, for thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Folks, if you're a Christian, you're in it for the long haul. You're in it for eternity. And it's just not for today, and then I'm going to live my own life until next Sunday, and I'll come back and do this. You're in it for tomorrow and the next day and the next day until God calls you home.
That's right.
It says, for you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. A lot of people just give up because they say, I'm just tired of this. Are you tired? I'll tell you what, I'm tired of a lot of the stuff that's going on today. Tired of what freedom's been taken away. Tired of all this other stuff. Tired of no end in sight. But I know God's still in control.
Amen.
And I know where my foundation is based on. It's based on Christ. And it's not going to kill my sanctification. Because my strength doesn't come from man. My strength doesn't come from the government. My strength comes from God.
Amen.
So there's the danger of ignorance. There's the danger of arrogance. See, arrogance leaves you open to the enemy. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Simon Peter has been told about the upcoming crucifixion. He says, I'm not going to deny you. I'll die with you. And he engages his mouth before he engages his brain. His heart's not in it. He's just blurting out stuff. And Christ says this. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Folks, Satan wants every one of us.
Right.
He may not take your soul, but he could sure kill your testimony.
That's right.
It leaves you open to the enemy. I can handle this. Right. Nope. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. See, there's a danger of arrogance in that it leaves you open to the enemy. There's danger of arrogance that it leaves you open to damage. Proverbs 6:27 says this, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? I can do it. It won't hurt. It's just a little sin. God will forgive me. No one knows. You heard that before? Maybe you even said it before. Folks, you're leaving yourself open to damage. Minimize the scars in your life by living a holy life. We can live sanctified when we have the right foundation. We can have strength when we're sanctified. And then lastly, it leaves you open to defeat. Over and over and over again, Moses gave God's word to them, saying, look, get your pride out of this. You might be God's chosen people, but you need to follow the commandments of God. In Leviticus chapter 28, verse 20, it says this, and your strength shall be spent in vain. And for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. It said, hey, this is what's going to happen if you just get proud and say, we're God's chosen people. This is all our stuff. We did it on our own. But see, there's a lot of people today that say, hey, I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want because God loves me and He's going to bless me too. No, He won't. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what it says. And so basically, we can't be arrogant. We can't be ignorant. We can't be arrogant. Because it's just wide, it opens us up wide open to the enemy. Leaves you open to damage and leaves you open for defeat. All these things are I can withstand the gates of hell. No, you can't. What you need is you need the power of God. You will not have the power of God in your life if you're not set apart to Him. If He's not Lord of your life. He cannot be Lord of your life unless you know Him as your faith basis. And you have a relationship with Him. See, the power of God is essential because it's what's needed most. In Psalm chapter 18, verse 32, it says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. It's where it's needed most. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the what? inner man. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. Where's your heart today? Where's your heart today? Is it strengthened on the inner man by God? Or do you need some of that strength today? You need to ask for it. See, the power of God is essential. It's what's needed most. It's where it's needed most. And then it's when needed most. Like I said, this is a wearisome time. It's a dark time. And maybe people will say, well, now I just don't know what to do. But I got some encouragement to you. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, it says, He giveth power to the faint. Look at this verse. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might or no strength, He increaseth strength. Folks, we can prevail or we can be prevailed about. The difference is, where are you putting your faith? It must be Jesus. It cannot be man. And action has to be taken. Having the right faith basis allows us to be sanctified. Because it's the will of God. It's a call to separation. It's a call to separation. And it's a personal responsibility for each and every one of us. And being sanctified allows us to have strength. And don't be ignorant of it. And don't be arrogant. Because that'll get you defeated. We need to be humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may what? Exalt you in due time. Because it's the power of God. It's what is needed most in the world today. It's where it's needed most. And it's when it's needed most. Right now. Are you experiencing the power of God? What's your relationship with Him? This morning, we're going to have a verse of invitation. The question is, are you prevailing? Are you prevailing? If not, why not? It's not God, it's us. And we need to make that right today. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, to have our faith in You and You alone. Father, help us, Lord, to be set apart for You, and that we would follow You in holiness. Father, help us, Lord, to get our strength only from You, because You are the God of all strength. Father, be with us time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen. I want to ask David to sing. Everybody's heads bowed, eyes closed. As David sings,
I can hear
where he leads me.
I sing.